Think Realty Nation. What's up? It's your host, Abhi Gohar. Welcome to the Think Realty podcast. Today is a special day. Today's show is a special show. Why, you ask? I'm going to leave you in a little bit of anticipation. Here's some of the topics we're going to cover, okay? Let me just grab my notes here. Here's what we're covering. Being the landlord versus being the bank. Deferring taxes over time. Smart investing decisions in an unusual time. And how to pick being the bank. You want to be the bank. How to make that happen. So one of my dear friends, one of my really, really good friends, some call him a myth. I call him a legend. He doesn't know it, but he's been my mentor for many years. He is one of the smartest people in the note industry that I know. His name's Eddie Speed. He'll be joining us in just a second. But I want you to just think about these topics that we just talked about. Think about these topics for a second. Let that kind of soak in. The information you're going to receive in the next 12 to 15 minutes is going to transform the way you think about investing. Just saying. This podcast is brought to you by Rentify, a verification platform allowing property management companies and real estate investors to instantly verify a prospective renter's financial information. The bank check report provides a summary of payroll, income, tax, bill, payment history, and highlights red flags like payment issues, payday loan activity, frequent overdraft, past bankruptcies, and more. Check out trustrentify.com. Use the coupon code ThinkRealty for 20% off your first purchase. Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to talk to Eddie. You're going to have your mind blown, and then you'll want to have Eddie back, which will absolutely make happen. So it's time to get your mind blown. You ready? Let's do this. Mr. Speed, the myth,
how are
man,
you, sir?
The legend himself. Dude, I'm doing so well. I'm so grateful you're with us. You'll be sharing some wisdom today. I'm excited for the conversation because anytime you and I get down to talking, whether it's in Texas over a nice glass of something or virtually on an interview, I always end up learning something. So I'm excited for this conversation for sure. You said, I'm going to pick being the bank. What does that mean?
Well, let's talk about why the market is where it is and why people are motivated to make a change. 17 million houses are owned by people that are small-time landlords. That's a lot of houses. They own 5 houses or less. And they own the house in their individual name. They're not hedge funds. They're not professional investors. They're just people that thought buying a rent house was a great idea, right? 3/4 of those people self-manage. They're not professionally managed. And let's just be fair about it, Abhi. I don't believe most of them do as good a job managing a property as a professional property management company, right? I think most of them are hobbyists. One more stat. 50% of them don't have a mortgage.
Wow.
Now the pandemic comes along and this class of investor, what I refer to, and I'm not saying it sarcastically, I'm doing it because it resonates so clearly, as hobbyist landlords, right? This class of investor is doubly hit with the impact of not collecting rent compared to professional property managers, right? But the market's been good to them, Abhi. The market's been good to them. They've seen a lift in value, okay? So let's just say, hypothetically speaking, they bought a piece of property for $100,000.
Okay.
The market has been super good to them, and now it's worth $250,000, okay? Okay. If they sell it, they're going to have to pay the appreciation gain on their property in a smaller tax called capital gains. We all know this, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, how could you pay the capital gains? You could pay it all at one time, or you could pay it at $10,000 a year. You see, if you carried financing, Abhi, you could just pay the gain over the next 15 years called installment sales basis. The IRS allows this.
Installment sales basis. Okay. Yeah. It's the first time I'm hearing about it. This is what I mean. Every single time we end up talking, I'm always learning something. So how, break this down. How does this work?
Okay, so as you know, Abhi, I'm involved in several of very high volume real estate investor masterminds, mm-hmm. right? As is Eddie Wilson, you know, founder of your company, right? So here's the deal. The reality is when I quiz the top house buyers in the business, call it the top 200 house buyers in the industry. Okay. They tell me between somewhere around 60% and 90% of every house they're buying at a discount is coming from this hobbyist landlord. Now, he doesn't own 60% of the houses, or certainly 90% of the houses, but he identifies as the guy with the most pain in the market. Right? He's the most motivated to sell, and that's why they're buying houses at a discount. So what about the conversion rate? You and I've had this conversation many times, right? The conversion rate for people that don't want to sell at a discount, and particularly, Abhi, somebody that has a big tax liability. Would they sell it, carry financing over time, continue to collect a cash flow as the lender they own or financed versus the landlord? They're going to get a bigger check because they're going to get a check, and they're not going to have expenses, and they're going to have management, but also they're going to defer their taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. How does the math break down on that? Because I'm hearing it. It's starting to make sense. What's the big main takeaway, do you think, here?
So this $250,000 house, there's $150,000 capital gain.
Yeah.
Kind of following that math?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can sell it this year, sell it for cash, and I'm going to be taxed at a 20% tax rate, plus these other things, right? Could be closer to 29%.
Yes.
Right? Well, that's a pretty good tax hickey. And by the way, what are you going to do with your money anyway? They're really getting rid of the rental because they weren't good at managing rentals.
Yeah.
They made an investment and found out they bought a job. All of those things. We know that.
Yeah.
If your audience, the person sitting in your audience is good at it, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about there's 17 million of these houses owned, and a lot of people aren't good at it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's fine. And so if that's the case, though, if you're a real estate investor and you're looking for a win-win, get him to sell or finance you the property because he can then lay down his tax liability and pay it over a number of years, installment sales basis.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense. Because why take the tax hit?
And he's getting what he wanted anyway, which is a cash flow.
Yeah.
A predictable cash flow that doesn't cause work.
So this sounds like, this sounds great, right? Like I'm kind of running some of the numbers and it makes sense. How do you convince somebody to do that?
I think they're motivated anyway.
Because right? of the tax rate, because of the capital gains tax. Yeah.
Okay. I go to all these masterminds.
Yeah.
I talk to what I believe are the biggest operators in the business. And I also specifically talk to people that are driving their marketing campaigns.
Yes.
Right? Some of the most influential people in the house buying world. And so they tell me that statistically, 60 to 90% of the houses they are buying are coming from this defined hobbyist landlord, right? The guy that got into the business, he wasn't as good as the professional operators, and particularly because of the virus, he's been clobbered. I mean, and now, I guess we're going to defy the Supreme Court and just say that I'm just saying. I guess now we're going to just defy the Supreme Court ruling and we're just going to call a moratorium anyway, right?
Right.
Anyway, we can get into maybe
yeah,
that.
We can get into that. It's interesting. So I suppose then the eviction moratorium extension is also weighing on these people. And it's probably another motivating factor, right? They're like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with having to carry it and tenants and stuff. So let me just sell it.
It's a winner. It's a winner because they can reposition themselves in the property by carrying the financing, deferring their taxes, collecting a predictable income, all winning opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And here's the great thing about it. They can still continue to collect income on the property, which is why they bought it to start with.
So something else too, I was just thinking about. If you pad, so can you do this? Let's say I'm the seller in this case, and I agree to seller financing this home. Say to you, Eddie.
Yep.
Can't I, maybe not. I don't know, I'm just thinking like, is there a way to do this in my self-directed IRA, right? Like, is there a way to carry the note in my self-directed IRA?
Can't
do that because I own the house too personally.
Yeah, so if you own it in your entity, you can't move it to your retirement account. You're doing business with yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
If you owned it in your self-directed retirement account, this is a great thing, but you're not gonna have capital gains.
Yeah.
But the idea is this, like whenever the real estate investor is looking at an impact market, the hobbyist landlord inventory of houses has to scream as the biggest inventory of markets with a dent in the market right now. Things are so good.
Mm.
Let's be fair about it. The top 500 house buyers are actually doing better than they were before. Right?
Yes.
I don't believe that is true for anything past the top 500 house buyers.
Yes.
You think that's a fair statement?
I think that's a very fair statement.
Because they don't have their marketing in place and they don't have their selling cycle in place. These guys that have really become high volume at this have really dialed in on things way better than the industry ever had before.
Yeah.
And I think most people that are newer in the business, they're sort of struggling. If I were a beginner in the market, or if I was a guy that only bought 20 houses a year or 10 houses a year or 5 houses a year, I wouldn't do anything but solicit a hobbyist landlord because he's the guy with the most pain that has equity, and I could solve a problem for him. In solving that problem for him, Abhi, he could become my lender because he could afford to owner finance it.
Yes. And he's deferring taxes.
And I'm going to point out all the motivations.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So you talk about a strategy, smart decisions in an unusual time. This is one of those smart decisions. Let's take another minute and talk through another smart decision that investors can make in the marketplace today.
Well, I mean, once again, you know, there's such a variety of investors. I mean, you know, like the argument, Abhi, and you know this, the argument is, but, you know, trees are going to grow to the sky, right? Houses have gone up in value and they're going to continue to go up and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to make me sound a little bit pessimistic, but let me say this. Let me say that I fully acknowledge there is a shortage of listing. Call it 1 million houses listed and 2 million houses need to be listed, right? So there is a gigantic shortage of listings, and from that we've seen this surge in the market, right? This shortage. Abhi, how many mortgages are not paying?
I don't know that.
So, wild number here, but Black Knight just completed a report that identified Residential mortgages. And now these are not just the GSE loans, right? The government sponsored enterprise loans, not Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA. This includes them, but it doesn't it includes all of the loans that are residential mortgages. Okay. They identified that there was 5.5 million mortgages not paying before the virus started.
Jeez. Okay. What about during? What about now?
Okay, well then tack another 5 million on it.
Okay.
I mean, you've got 2 million loans in forbearance and 3 million loans that are delinquent and not paying that are not in forbearance. So see, people think forbearance is everything. Of 10 million loans, Abby, 2 million of them are in forbearance. That's just a data fact.
So you have me thinking. So what do you think the play is here? To get in touch with all these sellers and say, hey,
that represents shadow inventory.
Okay.
It represented shadow inventory in 2008. And the following of 2008, and I think it represents shadow inventory today. And I'm not going to be the guy.
You don't think that the sellers that are in forbearance or that are not paying on their mortgage, they could just sell because they have equity in the home right now?
Like, I have a question.
I
have a question. Why are they not selling?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're waiting for the market to go up. I zero clue.
You know what I like to say?
What's that?
A fifth grade school teacher does not think like a fifth grader, but they have to know how a fifth grader thinks.
Do you have a book of your quotes? I need to buy this. Is this on Amazon somewhere? It's got to be. It's got to be. All right. I've got so many more questions for you. We don't have the time. That's why I'm a little irritated right now. I'm just like, we could talk for hours. Okay. So you're the head honcho at colonialfundinggroup.com and Note School. If anybody, and you should, you're paying attention to this, and you're listening to Eddie, and you know he's a wealth of information, go get involved. Like, absolutely go get involved. He has a tremendous amount of knowledge when it comes to the note industry and structuring deals like the one we just talked about with the seller that has equity and taking his or her perspective and saying, hey, I'm going to end up with, you know, $150,000, $200,000 tax liability what am I trying to say, Eddie?
On their equity.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tax liability on the equity. So let's structure seller financing here. So you want to get in touch with Eddie, essentially is what I'm trying to say. Go to noteschool.com, get signed up, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, in fact, specifically, if they'll go to noteschool.com, and I'm going to give you a slash,
okay.
Get started.
Okay.
Then I've got some really good stuff that was going to very narrow in on, like, the things we're talking about today. Right. And part of this is going to be to understand why your customer has a need and how you can solve the need.
Got it. So you got a free training. Yep. I'm on it right now. That's it right there. Dude, this has been fantastic. Every single time I'm just like, I'm taking notes, I'm typing away. When the screen goes away and you're the only one on the screen, I'm taking notes as quickly as I can on this thing. So Eddie, thank you so much. If there's one thing that you need to know as a real estate investor, having multiple tools in your tool belt is a very important thing. If you're only fix and flip, you're doing your portfolio and your investing activity a massive disservice. Buying and holding notes, or getting into the note game, buying and holding rentals, these are things that you should absolutely do. So learn to play the game, or the game's gonna play you, and it's never a fun feeling when you're getting played. Eddie understands how you can play the game. So get in touch with him and his team at the Note School, noteschool.com, not the Note School. It's www.noteschool.com. Eddie, always fun having you. Thanks so much for the time, man. I appreciate it. All right, Think Realty Nation. This next quick little segment is brought to you by RCN Capital. RCN Capital is a national direct private lender providing commercial loans for the purchase and refinance of non-owner-occupied residential and commercial property. They finance all sorts of ground-up new construction, fix and flip, long-term rentals, all these things. Super, super great guys over there. Great team over there. Check them out. Go to www.rcncapital.com for more information on loan programs. So, I'm still trying to think through this Eddie stuff. And, mind blown. If you're paying attention, it's mind blown time. Hemp homes. We're talking about hemp homes, which is very interesting to me. Does that mean if they catch fire, they go up in smoke? Ha ha. That's a terrible joke. Joe, you can laugh at the joke. You're allowed to laugh at the joke. There you go. Thank you. All right. Article written by Steve Streetman on the Think Realty blog. Quote, it's an efficient economical substitute for nearly all building materials does exist, and it's called hemp. Very interesting. I'm thinking, you know, it's marijuana. Is it, though? Nope. Let's distinguish the difference between hemp and its evil twin, marijuana. Depending on what side you fall on, is it really evil? Technically, they're both referred to as cannabis, but they are different species of plants. You can't get high from smoking hemp. And hemp has a long history of multiple uses. In the more modern times, hemp is a good alternative to corn for biofuels. And he goes on to talk through why hemp is a very interesting material for building, which is really cool. One of those groups, Empower Unity, is finalizing for all their initial communities. They'll be leveraging a novel 3D printing using hemp-based materials to rapidly and cheaply create beautiful well-constructed options. So, I mean, if you're a new construction, or even if you're looking at doing a really heavy reno, maybe take a look at this, maybe take a look at hemp. It's kind of crazy to think about, right? Like, I don't know how that works. I have no idea how it works. They're laughing at me. But seriously, I'm like deer in headlights. So, check out empireunity.com. I'm going to do some more research. I promise you this. I will do more research. By the next time we record this, I will be a pro at hemp-based building. Which is all right. That's all I got. Go to thinkrealty.com. We have a conference coming up September 18th and 19th. It's called the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Baltimore. If you want to check it out virtually, you can. If you want to be there in person, you can. Highly recommend you going in person. It makes a lot more sense to do so. You're going to meet a lot of cool people and network. That is the name of the game. If you go to thinkrealty.com/Baltimore, type in the code podcast, and you'll get two tickets for the price of one. It's kind of cool. I'll end the show by giving a huge shout out to today's sponsor, Rentify, a verification platform allowing property management companies and real estate investors to instantly verify a prospective renter's financial information. Their bank check report provides information about payroll, income, rent, bill payment history, and highlighting a lot of red flags like payment issues, payday loan activity, past bankruptcies, etc. Go check them out at trustrentify.com, and if you use a coupon code, the coupon code is ThinkRealty, you'll get 20% off your first purchase. Okay, I've talked a lot. And my mind is still blown with what Eddie was talking about. So I'm going to go nap and then watch this again. I'll see you next time.